Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
I've been praying over this for about 3 or 4 weeks. God was speaking to me a few weeks ago about some things, and this morning is the morning that I believe is right to bring what God wants to share. And God's been challenging me in my own personal life. When we bring preaching and teaching, we don't just get a word that morning when we've got up out of nowhere, especially when God speaks to you and begins to challenge you. You have to work some things through. You have to respond to him, and you have to make sure that your heart is right in your own life and you're seeking to live out what he's saying before you can kind of communicate that to everybody else. God is speaking to us at the moment over these last couple of months about the power that is in his name, the power of his name, and therefore the power that is in the word, the power of the word in our lives. And Pastor Colin, a few weeks back, brought a message about often we use the name of Jesus in our prayer, don't we? We pray and then we say, in the name of Jesus, at the end. But we're not necessarily praying in his name, in the power and the authority of his name, to then see a release of his word, his purposes, his will in those situations. So God's been encouraging us, reminding us, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am in your life. This is the living word that you have on the inside of you. This is my spirit, the pneuma, the breath that you have on the inside of you. So you can be a person that overcomes, a person of victory. I get a sense everybody's waiting for the bit that's going to be that bit. Is that right? But don't worry about that bit. That'll be later. So you can enjoy the first 20 minutes. And it's not like that anyway. But God's last week, the message that was brought was about being a pure and holy people. What Jesus has done, that we're made in his image and we're made like him, and the power of the cross that is at work in our lives. And you know, we don't generally, I mean, obviously when we in terms of Sundays, we do have general themes, and sometimes it's more themed than others, but we don't necessarily sit down week by week and say, well, what are you speaking on, what are you speaking on, and all that kind of stuff. But Pastor Colin brought a word last week that really just sets up what God wants to not just say but do this morning in our lives. Because he has made us holy, he has made us pure, he has made us like him in his image. That then enables us to receive everything that he wants us to receive. And so God only anoints what he has made holy. The Holy Spirit has a name. Anybody know what the Holy Spirit's name is? There's a clue. Holy Spirit, there's a clue. Start for 10. University challenge. Anybody got an idea what the Holy Spirit's name is? Holy. He is the Spirit of God, but his name is holy. Because the nature and the character of God is holy, and everything flows from that, from his nature and character. When he puts his Spirit on the inside of us, he doesn't just put any old Spirit in us, he puts his Holy Spirit in us. Because he's made us in his image, we're pure and holy, we've been made like him, and we're seeking then to live out that he has made us, he puts his Holy Spirit on the inside of us to enable us to live in his holiness. And holiness is in terms of God, he's pure, blameless, but he calls us pure and blameless. And when he comes into us by his Holy Spirit, he sets us apart for his purposes. So we're no longer of this world any longer. We are in it, but we're not of it. So we have been made holy. So we are holy people living in an unholy world. Not because we have made ourselves holy, but because he is holy and he has made us holy. So that doesn't mean we have the right to look at anybody else and say we're better than anybody else. But we've just responded to the goodness of God and what he's done for us, as we heard last week. So those that he's been made holy, he anoints. What does that mean in essence? It means he clothes us with his power. When he anoints us, he clothes us with his power. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went round doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. In the same way, God anoints his church, this life-giving force that he's empowered by himself, who is the life-giver, Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, during the encounter nights this week, it was the first week of term for the Bible students, and so there were morning meetings every day that were, we normally have 8 o'clock, so about 40 minutes, worship, prayer, sort of encounter the Lord every day. But during the first week of term, there's a bit more word in the mornings and in terms of God speaking and focusing the week. And this week, as part of that, we had 3 encounter nights where we could meet and encounter God together. And if you weren't able to be at all of them or whatever, you weren't at any of them, all the messages are up on the website. But the words that God was bringing were phenomenal. They were powerful. They were deep. They were rich. They're no messing in the sense of what God's saying, but they were awesome messages from God. And God is speaking into our lives at this time. Now, for me personally, over the last few weeks, I can't get away from the call of God on who we are as Kingdom Faith. Can't get away from it. So when God first started to speak to me a few weeks ago, he started taking me through a whole load of scriptures about things that Jesus did. And I just started writing them all out. And I'm just going to read quite a few of them, not all of them, but some of them this morning, because I believe God wants to move us from where we've been into a totally new place with God. Now, that's not all going to happen in one morning, in one meeting. God was doing things during this week. And some of what God was saying during the week was showing us the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, how totally dependent Jesus was on the Father, that Jesus was anointed, but the anointing that was on Jesus came from the throne of God. And no matter what Jesus saw, no matter how great, how amazing, he constantly went back to the source, to the throne room with the Father, because he knew that I can't do anything of my own. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak the words that he gives me. So even though he was fully God on earth, he was also fully man. In Philippians 2, it says that Jesus humbled himself and made himself nothing. He came as a servant. And so he wanted to show us, how can you live that out as a person just like you and I, who are tempted like we are in every way, but yet with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we always have a choice as to what we choose. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says in there that no temptation has seized us beyond anything that we can bear. But God is faithful. He will never let us be tempted beyond anything that we can bear. So what we understand there is our walk with God is constantly, we constantly have choices to be made, because there are challenges, temptations, various things all along the way in our walk with God. But yet he has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to make the choices in our lives to walk with him and to walk in the Spirit each step of the way. And we heard some amazing messages in the week, how Jesus was on earth, but yet he related to the Father in heaven in a way that he was totally dependent, so that what the Father wanted to do through him, he was available, he was surrendered, he was submitted to what the Father wanted to do and to say through his life. So Jesus came to reveal the kingdom of heaven on earth. How do we know that? Because when the disciples came to him and said, teach us how to pray, he said, this is how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what Jesus was basically saying is, look, there's relationship with the Father. He is to be revered. He is to be worshipped. He is to be honored. He is to be glorified. He is to be magnified, hallowed, honored, majestic, holy is your name. And then he was basically saying, now this is what it's all about, lads. God's kingdom, your kingdom, Father in heaven, the Holy One, the Majestic One, the one is to be honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus demonstrated that by how he then lived, what it looked like living the kingdom life on earth. So let's read through some of these things, that we read and we see about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities, one side of the Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, this is in Capernaum, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Matthew 12:15. He just healed a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath, and the religious people were freaking out. You can't do that on the Sabbath. Aware of this, a plot to then kill him, Jesus withdrew from that place. But many followed him, and he healed all the sick. Matthew 14:13-14. This is after he'd heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and he wanted to go off to a place on his own. And it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he hadn't even got to the place on his own yet. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14, a bit further on. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. He went back now. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Matthew 15:30-32. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. And he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Matthew 19, first couple of verses. When Jesus had finished speaking, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. He sent out the 12, Mark 6. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Luke 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, the people brought Jesus all who had various diseases and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Luke 5:15-16, yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Luke 6, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of disciples was there and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Are you getting the gist? Luke 9:11. But the crowds learned, this is in Bethsaida, they learned that he was there and they followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Acts chapter 5, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet in the colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Luke 9, verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. There's a lot more I could read here from other parts of the Gospels, not just about the individual moments where people got healed, but when many, multitudes, the crowds were getting healed, set free from demonic powers, from all kinds of things. Even John, you know, writes in the end of his gospel that if everything was written down that Jesus ever said or did, there probably wouldn't even be enough room in the whole world for all the books that would be written. Wow. How busy was he? How much stuff was going on every day? And that was just for three and a half years. There wouldn't be enough room in the whole world for all the books. And John was kind of like, what he's basically saying is, look, there is so many things that Jesus has done. I don't think you could even write them all. There are just so many. We can't remember them all. It's just, you know, what does Jesus pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Majestic, worthy, holy, honored, revered is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says that's how to pray, guys, because that is what it's all about. Leading up to the Last Supper, he teaches them a lot of things, talks a lot about the Holy Spirit in the Last Supper. And he's speaking about having to leave them, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Helper. I'm going to send you what you need, because I've shown you and demonstrated to you what it's all about, following me. Following me is about seeing the kingdom of heaven released on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying to the disciples, that's what it means to be a follower of me. So the same power that the Father has given me, because I couldn't do what I've done and I couldn't be able to go through what I'm about to go through unless I have the Holy Spirit in me. So the same Spirit that the Father has placed in me, I'm now going to go to the Father and He will send you and put into you the same Spirit that He put into me when I came out of baptisms and I had my hand raised, the same Spirit that came upon me, I'm now going to ask Him to send to you so that you then have the same Spirit on the inside of you so that you can see the same kingdom on earth as you saw when you were with me, because that's what it's all about, seeing God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and nothing less than what God wants to do, we want to settle for. Mark chapter 6, it's been one of our readings this week, a few days ago. Says that in verse 1, Jesus left where he was and he went to his hometown in Nazareth. He was accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Whoa, wow. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What is this wisdom that has been given to him, that he even does miracles? And then they were like, hang on a minute, hold on. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us as well? Hang on a minute. Don't we know this bloke? The next thing, they took offense at him. Whoa. So So one minute, they're like, wow, where did this man get these things? Where did he get the wisdom? He even does miracles. Wow, where did he get that from? And then they began to, hang on. Isn't this, don't we know this guy? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Because we've just read a whole load of other situations where all that came to him were healed. The blind, the deaf, the mute, cripples, demons cast out of people, the dead being raised. I mean, hang on a minute. So he was tripping around all over the place and seeing phenomenal things that John said, even if it was all written down, there wouldn't be enough room in all the world for all the books that would be written. But yet he comes to Nazareth where he was born. And on one level, they recognize something. They're like, wow, where did you get that authority? Where did you get that wisdom? You even do miracles. But then suddenly they were like, hang on, yeah, but we know you. You're Jesus. And then they took offense at him. Familiarity is a killer. Probably the biggest killer of your faith and my faith. And God, let's put it this way. God being able to do stuff, probably the biggest killer is familiarity. God anoints us with the Holy Spirit and with power in the same way that Jesus was anointed. Same Spirit. But what they didn't do is they recognized something. It was like, wow, you got authority, you got wisdom, you even do miracles. They didn't recognize it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. And because they looked at him saying, well, we know you. Hang on a minute. We know you. They then didn't honor what was on his life. And suddenly familiarity stopped them from entering into everything that the Father wanted them to come into in that moment. And their familiarity with him, they looked at him and said, we know you. You're the carpenter. We know you. We know your sisters, your brother, your family, you know, all of that. You're part of the community. So, you know, and suddenly that robbed them of what everything the Father wanted. What did they do? They dishonored the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. It's interesting when you look at the word honor, because I've been going through this the last few days. When you look at the word honor in connection with God and who he is, the word honor means to have a reverence and an awe. Understanding that he is holy and that there's a reverence and an awe in terms of how we honor him. We honor him. We honor his presence. We honor his word. We honor the Holy Spirit in our lives with a sense of awe and reverence. But the Bible also talks about how we honor one another. So in Romans 12, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, when it talks about honoring one another, honor is slightly different what the word honor means when you look at what the words used there for honor. It's not quite the same that we have a reverence and an awe towards one another in the same way as we do towards God, okay? The word honor to one another means to highly esteem and to have great value of that person. And it's like there's a price that has been paid for that person, and therefore we highly value, we highly esteem and honor one another above ourselves. So relationally, that's how we relate to one another, that we highly esteem, we value one another relationally. But also, we have to connect in that relationship the truth, not just the fact, but the truth that each one of us is anointed with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in our highly esteeming, valuing, and loving one another in a relationship, we need to understand that there's another dimension that is on our lives that we do need to have a reverence and an awe about, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit on one another's lives. Do you understand the difference? So every person in the room that knows Jesus, you've been anointed by the Holy One. In that synagogue moment when Jesus was there, they just saw the man. They didn't see the anointing. They were so familiar with him. Well, we know you. They were used to who he was. And suddenly out of the blue, it was a bit like, whoa, hang on, don't we know you did? Well, how can you have grown up and done this, that, and the other? And suddenly you've got an authority, you've got wisdom, you're doing miracles. But their familiarity snubbed out what God wanted to do at that moment. A few weeks ago when I was praying, I just got up one morning, was just praying and worshiping the Lord, and God spoke to me and he said, Clive, read through the Gospels and write down all the places where I did multiple miracles. Okay. And I was like, okay, so I started to look through and flick through and write out the verses, a bit like I've read this morning. And when I said to the Lord, why am I, there's always a reason, isn't there, why God tells you to do something. So I'm like, why am I doing this? What about the individual ones? And he said to me, he said, look, you see individual things happening. You see people healed there, here. You have testimonies, orange cards, you know, this is what God's done. You see individual, but there's so much more. There are multitudes of people. There are multiples of miracles of different types, not just physical healing, but all sorts of things that God wants to do. And he began to challenge me in my own, like, I wasn't thinking about us at this moment. I was just, when God started to talk to me, Clive, I want you to begin to see multiple things happening, not just individual ones. And then he began to talk to me about who we are as a church and the call upon who we are and what we're seeing and what we're not seeing. Because you've got to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves and what we're seeing and not just say, oh, God's good, he's amazing, hallelujah, one day we'll see more. Sometimes God says, all right, now it's time for that one day. And what God began to talk to me about was a number of things to do with familiarity. What stops him, as we see in that story, in Mark 6, what stopped the power of God being released? It was familiarity. There's a number of things there. Familiarity with God, first of all. Because what is the anointing? The anointing is God on our lives and in our lives. That's what the anointing is, right? The anointing isn't some kind of misty thing. Do you know what I mean? That sort of, you know, have you got the mist? You know, are you in the cloud and all of that? I mean, some of that stuff, do you know what I mean? We're not seeking clouds and mist and all of that. Do you know what I mean? If God wants to reveal himself in that way, that's up to him. But we're not seeking for that kind of stuff. So we don't have clouds and mist on our life. We have God on our lives and in our lives, right? So we can get familiar with him, first of all, and we don't even realize it. When we begin to get familiar with God, we begin to give him the butt end of our time. Or we can put it this way, the fag ends of our time or whatever. We begin to squeeze him in here and there. Or the busyness kind of, well, I've got a few minutes, but well, I've got to go now. Or we begin to get familiar with him when we just get up a bit later than we were. You know, so, oh, I just need, you know, or it's just, there's realities to this, right? The spiritual temperature on our lives. When you get familiar with God, it's one of the, another way is when you just lose your peace very quickly about things. You get rattled easily. Hang on a minute. What's going on? I'm getting familiar with, I'm not cultivating a sensitivity. I'm not cultivating his presence in my life, a sensitivity to him and him being in my life. And we can come familiar. What else it looked like in the life of who we are, becoming familiar with God in terms of worship. Not just in a meeting, but just generally. How often do you spend time just worshiping Jesus on your own? Stick a CD on in your car or at home, you got worship playing, or you just, when you spend time with him, Jesus, I just want to worship you. I don't just want to sit down and present my request to you. Firstly, I want to seek you. I want to seek you first. Before I present my request, I want to give you myself. I want to present myself to you and worship you, because encountering you is going to be more than I'm ever going to need. And if I need to hear something as I'm encountering, I'm sure you're big enough to tell me what I need to hear. You know everything about my life before I even tell you what it is or what my needs are. So I don't need to put my request before you. What I need to do is put my life before you and say, Jesus, I want to know you more than anybody else or anything else. And in that place of building trust as you relate to him, worship him, and he begins to reveal who he is, he speaks. Maybe sometimes he doesn't. You're just so caught up with him. You're in awe of him and you walk away and you're like, well, I'm not bothered about that now because I've just met with him and actually somehow inside I know he's taking care of it. Because he is a good father. We don't have to batter God and remind him of all the stuff. Remember yesterday I prayed this. Remember the day before I prayed that. Remember this. He's like, yes, I've heard you. Yes, I've heard you. Yes, just begin to thank me that I've already heard you. And it's on its way. Just thank me and get on with your life. Stop looking over your shoulder saying, God, I need that. And you know, have you remembered? I'm going to present myself before you, before any requests. I'm going to seek you first. We don't want to be familiar with him, because when we're familiar with him, we begin to get sloppy in our lives. What we watch, what we do, conversations we have, the way we look at each other, speak to one another, the way we are, that has a massive effect on the life of who we are as a church. You know, this always comes out, this one, but it's a symptom of a root that can go on in our lives. So this is a housekeeping morning, is that okay? Well, we're here, so that's what we're having. And just being late on a Sunday, that dishonours the presence of God. That dishonours the Holy Spirit. Because what that says, there's no golden rule anywhere that says church starts at 10 or 10:30 or 9 or 11 or 6 p.m. or whatever. There's no, you know, you could say, yeah, but the church just puts a time in to meet. Okay, but if we don't put a time in, you know, what time is it? Oh, I don't know. We'll just turn up and see if everybody's there, you know. Why do we gather? Because we want God to do something amongst us every time we gather. The last thing in the world any of us want in this, if we just turn up and go through the motions of a service and just have a bit of music, bit of a preach, few notices or whatever, and then we go home. I mean, oh, that's religion. We don't want that kind of life, right? But what does it mean to rock up late? What that in essence says, there's a number of things. One is, and we've talked about this before, we don't realise our life matters. Because it's easy to think, well, if I'm late, the thing would have started anyway and everybody's going to be worshipping, so I don't make any difference. You do. Your life matters in this thing. Because if we all turn up at 10:15, it would be pretty dead at 10 o'clock. If we all rocked up at 9:45, 10 o'clock would be like a missile going off. But why? What does that show? We've become familiar, not just with church, but with God. And it's like, because when we come on a Sunday, we're coming to worship and encounter Jesus. We're coming to give him our best. And whether we ever get round to preaching a message or not, the most important thing on a Sunday is that we actually come and worship Jesus. And we present ourselves individually and as a body, we present ourselves to him saying, Father, I give you everything that I am and I have. I want to worship you, give you adoration, praise you, all of that. You might say, well, I know the songs inside out, la, 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 la. This thing up here doesn't determine how we worship. We are the worshipers. We are the living temples. You know, if we all just went off somewhere and the guys were like, man, they're all doing their own thing today. We can't even keep great. We'll stop playing and we'll just get on with it. Do you know what I mean? These guys are just here to help us. But we are the worship team. We are the worship team. We are the choir, if we can put it that way, you know. And you lead worship on your row. You're a worship leader where you are. So you can be wherever in the room, okay? And you might say, well, Pete's leading worship or Kate's leading worship or they're both leading worship today and look at the stage. Or you can say, no, I'm a living temple with the Holy Spirit on the, I'm a worshiper, so I'm leading worship in the row I'm at. And if we all had that, what would happen in the room? We see, it's easy to get familiar with stuff, with God, with his presence, with the Holy Spirit. We can get familiar with one another. Well, I know Clive, he's been the pastor for a while now and he da la 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 la. Or we know Pastor Colin and la 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 la. We know Pastor so-and-so. We know this person, that person. And it's easy to become familiar with who we are. We'll come to each other in a minute. But it's easy to become familiar with leaders. But it actually starts with becoming familiar with God, not with this here. So we want to honor God in our lives. We want to honor one another. We want to honor those. I mean, it talks about double honor in the Bible for those that lead you or whatever. That doesn't mean everybody bows down and all that sort of stuff. That's not what it means at all. Because in leadership, your prime thing is to serve. It's not to be served. Jesus was he's the Son of God, but he said, I've not come to be served, but to serve. So in leadership, it's all about serving. It's not about this, that, and the other. Who's going to do what for you? But then we have one another. What is one way that we honor one another? Keeping your own life spiritually alive and in tune. Because we're part of a body. Each one of us is a member of the body. For your body to function, each member needs to be healthy. If something's not healthy, your body amazingly is made, created to actually heal and work so that if there's an area that's struggling, the body readjusts to help accelerate healing into that part that is not well, so that the body can be well, so that it can function in the way that it needs to and do what it's supposed to do. So we need to understand every one of us is a part of the body, and we want to make sure that we're spiritually healthy in this body, so that whether you're with another person in a small group context, a prayer meeting, a Sunday meeting, in the life of the body, whatever it is, that what we're doing is we're bringing life and we're bringing health. One, because we're not, because there's no familiarity in our own relationship and time with the Lord, because we're keeping it fresh and alive with his word, as we've been hearing over the last few weeks, sowing, you know, eating the word, reading the word, listening to the Holy Spirit, writing stuff down, worshiping, keeping it fresh, sharpening and encouraging each other. So we come with life when we gather together. We want to look at each other not just from a natural point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. You It's easy to look in the natural. But in the spirit, we see one another. It's like, wow, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. You've got God on your life and in your life. Therefore, I want to honor you on a relational level. I want to highly esteem and value you. But also, in terms of God on your life, I want to honor you and there to be some reverence and awe towards you because of God on your life. That I don't want to be familiar with you or treat you with contempt or take you for granted or just say, well, that's just the way they are. Because there's bits about all of us that's just the way you are, that the Holy Spirit, I think, often is saying, wait, come on, let's work on that one and be more like Jesus or whatever in that area. But why is all this important? Because of the purposes of God. We've read here the multitudes when Jesus went out that came to him, or whenever he went off somewhere, they went and found him. I mean, I a few weeks ago, I was reading through, you know, when God speaks to you, you don't feel condemned, right? The enemy wants to turn that into a negative. Because as I was reading through all these different scenarios, I was like, wow, that's not happening in my own personal life. And it's not happening in our corporate life where God, you're so alive in me or in us that people are coming looking. They've heard something about somebody getting healed or somebody's life getting changed. And I mean, I know there's obviously a bit of that going on. It's not like nothing is happening, but there is some of that going on. But God challenged me, and it's like, I'm like, Father, that's not where I'm at this moment, and that's not where we're at as a church. And actually, we've become familiar with you, which has stopped your life and power being released, or hindered your life and power being released in the way that you want it to. And if I'm honest, I'd say in a number of ways, there's a little bit of a ceiling on some things. Some of you might think, oh, I've noticed that a little bit. Maybe some of you haven't. But I would say there's a bit of a ceiling on what happens on a Sunday in terms of in the praise and worship and the release and the dynamic of what God wants to do amongst us. There's a ceiling on how much happens on our Sunday meetings because collectively how we are. In terms of responding to the word or whatever. This isn't a word saying it's your fault or anything. This is me in my own life as well, right? In terms of what happens outside of this building when we go in our lives. What are we seeing happening in our homes, in our workplace, through our small groups, anything else that we do and whatever else goes on, you know? What are we seeing God do? And God challenged me, you know, a few weeks ago, and I've just been praying through this and asking him to obviously forgive, first of all. I've just come familiar with him, with people around me, leaders, staff team, the church. I've just come familiar with this, that, the other, or whatever, and asking him to forgive me, working through stuff, and knowing that at some point need to bring this, but there's so much more, so much more than we've seen, certainly in recent times anyway, so much more. And I believe God wants all of us to respond today in different ways. The first part, obviously, if in any way that any of us, you, me, whatever, we've become familiar with God, in our own walk relationship, taking certain things for granted. We've tipped our hat towards him a little bit, or kind of you realised, actually, I'm taking certain things for granted. One of the ways you know you're getting familiar with God is thanksgiving slows down or stops in your life. When you're not thankful about things, you know you're beginning to take things for granted. Actually having a thankful heart shows that you have a joyful heart, but it also shows you have a dependent heart. Father, I thank you that you're so amazing. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for your forgiveness today. I thank you for your grace today. Father, I just thank you. You lavish me with your grace in a way I just do not deserve. I thank you for your goodness, your abundant life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in me today. I thank you that you enabled me to walk with you, to know Jesus today. I thank you, Jesus, that you bless me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I thank you that you've adopted me as a son because you love me. I thank you, Jesus. It's like, you know, there's a flow of thanksgiving in our lives. And when that begins to slow down, that's another little indicator of, foot's coming off the gas, or I'm taking God for granted, or I'm just living my life. And every now and then I might say, God, I just need you to be involved here because, you know, or whatever. Rather than, Father, today I'm totally dependent on you in everything. I want to walk in your Holy Spirit. I want to walk in you today, Holy Spirit. Not just have a time with you and out of that, then do what I'm doing. I want to be totally dependent in my life today. So there's that familiarity that we need to repent of. And the word repent is the right word because repent means to turn around and then go in the other direction. Familiar with maybe with anybody in leadership in any way that you might have taken any, it doesn't, whether it's me or Pastor Colin or your small group leader, other people that are in leadership in the life of the church, you might take certain, I don't know what it might be. Maybe there's other people, one another, you're taking people for granted or become familiar. There are things in every one of us in this room that God wants to release in our lives, positive stuff, anointing, gifting, fruitfulness, all of that. There are seeds that are in us that God is wanting to germinate more to become really fruitful, and actually getting rid of any familiarity about how we see one another will actually help to release the things of God in one another. It's pretty quiet in here this morning. But it's not just what God does through us, it's how we are with one another that also releases the purposes of God and what he wants to do. So let's stand to our feet and I wasn't at the prayer meeting this morning, and Pete, who led the prayer meeting, didn't know what I was going to speak about today. And when he led the prayer meeting this morning, did you use that Mark 6? Yeah. Yeah, he kind of said something in the prayer meeting about from Mark chapter 6 about Jesus in the synagogue and they didn't honour him or whatever. He didn't know this is what I was going to be speaking about today, and he just said, well, I don't know what he said, but he that's right, the deaf and mute spirit. Yeah, he prayed against that deaf and mute spirit, but then somebody else in the prayer meeting, without being asked, just prayed out and said, Father, or something like this, on behalf of the church, we repent of familiarity. Now, I wasn't at the prayer meeting. They didn't know what I was going to be speaking about. And so I think the Holy Spirit's saying something. Okay? So this morning's message is not a message to go, yeah, it was all right, church, this morning, but the pastor just gave us a telling off. That's not what this is. If it was a telling off, it would probably be slightly different. You know, when you tell your kids off, it, sometimes you have to be a little bit more, well, hey, sit down, sunshine, we're having a chat, and you are well out of order, all right? It's a bit of a different thing. But God is speaking to us because we collectively, if I can put it this way, are hindering what God wants to do. Because God's ready to do far more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. So the restriction, if you like, is not with God. He's like, oh, come on. I just want to. And so we want to get rid of every familiarity, right?
That's right.
So this doesn't have to take ages, okay? But I want you to concentrate and not think, just as in think your prayers. You got to verbalize something this morning, okay? So we do need to think about what we're saying, but we need to verbalize it. If you have a reaction going on in you this morning and you're a little bit, I don't know if I like this morning, then you need to respond. When you react to something, the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on something when there's a reaction, okay? And that shows, you know, you don't like being corrected, which is what the Holy Spirit's doing this morning. He's correcting us. Is that okay? The word, what does it do? As well as encourages, it also brings rebuke and correction. So God's giving us correction this morning, all right, in terms of what he's saying, because he wants to realign. What does correction do? It corrects something, gets it back online. It's easy, you know, for us to say, well, it's all right, isn't it? Everything's going okay and everything, but we don't want everything just to go okay. What we want to be is in awe of who he is and be like, wow, God is just amazing. Have you heard that? Have you heard this? Have you heard what he's doing? No, I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard this one. Have you heard what's happened? Have you heard what God did there? No, I haven't heard that one. Wow. You know, it's so we're in awe of who he is. And what we're talking about is what he's doing in people's lives. It's overflow because of what he's doing. So let's just close our eyes for a minute. It helps you concentrate. And you have to put this in your own words, but just firstly with him, in any way, shape or form, where you know I've become a bit familiar with him, just repent of that, deal with that now. Just talk to him. But put words to it. Don't just think with your mind. Thinking with your mind isn't repentance. That's just thinking. But you have to put words to it. When you put words to it, you then have to actually say what you mean and articulate exactly what's in your heart. So just repent right now. Any familiarity towards him, you begin to take him for granted. The thankfulness, the thanksgiving has just gone a bit. Things like Sunday, just rocking up late. Well, I just turn up whenever. That's all there. Just become familiar. Just praying when it suits you, as in every few days, or just connecting with God when I feel at the point where I'm so uneasy, I need to get some peace back. That sort of stuff. It's just us getting familiar with him. And we don't want to take him for granted. Just ask to forgive you wherever there's any familiarity towards him, any familiarity towards the Holy Spirit, his presence in our lives. Any familiarity, just, Father, I repent of that right now. I repent of taking you for granted, taking your presence for granted, not cultivating relationship with you, intimacy with you. Just taking the church for granted, or I just rock up whenever, or I do this, or do, you know, like when it suits me. That's familiarity. Any familiarity towards leaders, anybody in leadership now, just any familiarity. Some of us have been around here long enough where you get to know weaknesses in people, traits in people. Sometimes we begin to look at that more than we do, what's the anointing on their life? What's the gift on their life? What's the Holy Spirit doing in and through that person? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. There is no such thing as a perfect church. You'll never find one that does everything exactly right. Any familiarity with leaders, just repent of that now. Any attitudes towards leaders. I mean, another way of getting familiar is you say during a message, you chat to your mate next to you. You're just chatting away there. In the worship, well, I just chat to my mate rather than worshiping. That's familiarity. That's just saying, well, I worship you when it suits me, Jesus. And yet at the same time, we want him to come and move in power and do amazing stuff in us and amongst us, saving people, healing people, setting people free. But then we want to go in his name and live in his name. And he's like, yeah, but when you had the opportunity to worship me, you just chatted to your mate for 30 minutes. It's that sort of stuff. We don't honour him. We're not honouring his presence. We're not honouring one another. If there's anything towards leaders, just you need to, you've begun to take Pastor Colin for granted, for example, the anointing on his life and what he brings. Whether it's towards me, towards anybody else in leadership, your small group leader, somebody who leads a team on a Sunday, anybody you just think, oh, well, that's just them, they, you know, yeah, whatever. And anything like that where we dishonor each other, we take each other for granted, we become familiar. Father, forgive me. I don't want to be like that. And then towards others, other people in the body, people that you know, maybe people you've known for a while, you've got to know them so much in the natural now that you kind of maybe lost a bit of sight of what's actually on their lives. It's like, Father, I just thank you that you wake me up this morning to see my friends, to see those, you know, in a new way, fresh way. Give me eyes to see what you see. Oh, give me eyes of the Spirit towards my friends. Give me eyes of the Spirit towards the leaders. Give me eyes of the Spirit towards who you are. Father, I thank you that you open up the eyes of my heart in a fresh way today to see who you are in a fresh way, to understand your purposes. That this morning, yes, it's about us dealing with familiarity, but actually what it's about, it's all about the harvest. It's about the multitudes that are yet to be saved, the multitudes that are yet to be healed and delivered. Man, if we are really going to reach a 25-mile radius in a way that God has spoken to us about, we need his life and power flowing and working and moving in a far, far greater way to deal with the scale of what he's called us to be part of, to reach 15, 20,000 people in this region, however many congregations that is, however many leaders and teams that'll involve. I don't know, it's a lot. But to move in that direction, it's like God saying, hey guys, wake up today, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Live bigger than your own life. Live beyond the length of your own arm. Live beyond who you are, because there's a kingdom that needs to come on earth as it is in heaven, in a way that you might speak about, dream of, and think about. But I want you to live in the reality of in your day, in this time, in this hour. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I just want to pray, ask you, we've all been praying, but Father, I ask you that you would forgive us as a church. Where we've just gone familiar, become familiar with you, with your presence. We've become familiar with leaders. Where we've become familiar with one another. Father, forgive us where we've just got used to stuff. Father, we don't want every week just to be the same, this way, that, and the other. We want you to give you space so you can move and do what you want to do. On a Sunday or in a prayer meeting or in a small group or in our homes, in our lives, out in work, out in the community, wherever. So that you can do what you want to do. So that we see the scale of what you want to see. The release of your power in work through our lives. Can we have the band up? There are a few things we just need to just do before we close. But let's just have the band up for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some of you financially have got familiar with God. Maybe some of you have stopped tithing and you need to begin to do the first fruits again in your life and get tithing back to where it is. He's first in our lives. Because sometimes, you know, when we're not tithing, when we're not giving God the first fruit, that first tenth of our income, that's before tax, the first tenth of our increase, if you like, and then we're saying, God, but would you do this and do that and the other? And he's like, yeah, but he said, you got to give back what is mine. And then my word says the windows of heaven will be open and you there'll be so much blessing you won't be able to contain it. So if you live according to my kingdom principles, you'll see my kingdom principles coming back to you just because there's a cycle of my kingdom that work in your life. So some of you maybe have stopped tithing and you need to get that right and back into order in your life. Maybe some, you know, from an offering point of view, well, I never put anything in the offering, I tithe. Well, that's it. But yet the Bible talks about tithing is his. Tithing's not an offering. The first 10% is actually his. It's all his. He says, but I'll have the first 10th and you can steward the other 90. So it's his. So we're actually only giving once we give beyond what the tithe is. whether that's giving more in the offering on Sunday or giving to other people or blessing them, doing stuff, that's giving. Tithing is just returning what is his. Maybe some of you need to financially get some things and that familiarity out of your finances, and you'll see the breath of God come afresh into your finances. Thank you, Jesus. So in that context, let's just tithe and give our tithes and offerings now to the Lord. So if you got those ready, you want to get those ready, let's give to him. We need to honour him with our bodies as well as finance. We need to honour him with our bodies. What we do with our bodies, how we eat, our diet, we need to honour him with our bodies. We want to honour him. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We want to honour how we look at one another, how we treat one another. Thank you, Jesus. We want to honour the anointing that is on our lives in the same way that Jesus honoured the anointing on his life. If Jesus needed to honour the anointing, we certainly need to honour the anointing on our lives. Why do we want to be throne room people? Because Jesus was a throne room person. Many times he would go off to a secret place when he had, you know, even if he'd been busy all day, I'm going to go up and spend time with the Father. Why? Because I'm dependent on him. He's my life. He's my source. He's my breath. I want to spend time with him. I want to make sure I'm hearing what he's saying. My heart is beating with his heart, that everything flows from that throne room. He's called us to be throne. He's made the way. He's opened up the way. He tore the curtain from top to bottom. When he hung on the cross there, opened the way. Say, hey, you can be a throne room person because that's who you're created to be. Everything flows from his throne. Let's just lift our hands this morning. You've been giving. Just lift your hands afresh as a point of surrender. Father, I surrender to you afresh today. I throw off every familiarity right now. I throw off everything that has sought to put a ceiling on my life, the lid on my life, the lid on who we are as a people. We just throw that off right now in Jesus' name. We're not living under any restrictions, any limitations, anyway. Whatsoever. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your life and power in our own lives personally, who we are corporately in every congregation, going out into the 25-mile radius, establishing new congregations. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your life and your power to fulfill everything that you've commissioned and commanded and mandated us to do in your name, in his name, in his name, in his name, because it all has to be in his name. So Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, we thank you for what you are doing. We don't want to belittle that and say, well, it's not so good. Father, we thank you for the lives you are changing, the people you are healing, and what you are doing. But yet, Father, we know there is so much more, far more, far, far more. And Father, we want to step into that. We want to jump into that, Father. The more than we could ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. Just wherever you are now, just thank him that you're anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. You need to speak that out. Don't just mumble it. You need to declare that this morning. Don't be quiet at this moment. But Father, I thank you that you've anointed me with the Holy Spirit and power in the same way that you anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. What did he anoint him for? To go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That means people that aren't saved, people that need healing and freedom. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to preach the gospel, to set the captive free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to those who are in dungeons. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I thank you for an anointed body of people, an anointed body of people who show you the utmost honor in everything, in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our actions, in our words, in our lives, when we meet together, in any context, that you would be honored highly, greatly, with reverence and in awe. The word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That's not just, that does not mean he just inhabits the song singing. When we sing songs, he inhabits. What it means he inhabits those who seek him. He inhabits those who go after him. He comes amongst those who are going after him, and then he goes after them. That's the kind of church we want to be, more and more and more. Is that right? That's the kind of church I want to be part of. So, Father, we praise your name. We exalt your name. We worship you, Jesus. Just lift your hands. Just praise him for a minute. Worship. I know time's kind of ticking away, but just worship him for a few moments. Give him adoration. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Thank him for everything in your life. Thank him for your husband and your wife. Thank him for your children. Thank him for your job. Thank him for your home. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him that you have health in your body. Thank him that you're blessed more than you can ask or imagine. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. And just thank him that you're part of a church that is on the move with God. Just thank him, Father. I thank you. You've placed me in a church that is on the move with you. We might not be perfect, or we could all say, well, we're not where we want to be, but just thank him you're part of a church that is on the move. And the more we plug into that, the faster the thing will go. Everybody has a part to play in that. We all play a part in the momentum and the pace that we move at as a church. Every person that is part of this church, you have a part to play. How you engage, how you connect, how you build relationships, how you pray, how you worship, how you live in secret as well as public will affect the pace and the momentum of who we are. Your life can't be hidden somewhere doing whatever you want to do and you think, well, that's just me. That will affect the life of the church, because we're part of something that is a spiritual reality, a spiritual organism, if you like. We're not just a bunch of individuals that come together to do a few things. We're a body on the move with him. And we want that body to be healthy, vibrant, full of life. And you are part of that vibrant, healthy, full of life body. So, Father, I thank you for every individual, every marriage, every family, every household. Father, I speak your goodness, your abundance, your blessing over every person, every couple, marriage, family, household. Father, I thank you for increase even this week, as we seek to worship you, give you adoration, honor you, glorify you, the anointing that is on our lives, as we seek to honor you, honor one another, that we begin to see a greater release of your life and power amongst us. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise, shall we? Come on, let's really praise him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.